The plague is spreading in places where natural land is being turned into cropland.
It maybe surprises people to learn that plague remains a public health concern in various parts of the world.
I'm Christopher Jones Cruz at the Voice of America in Washington. I'll tell you all about the plague today, why it is spreading, and where. The bacteria that has killed millions of people since the 1300s is still alive. Then, in his weekly technology report, Jonathan Evans will tell us about graphene. Some are calling it the material of the 21st century because of its special properties.
This material has so many potential applications that you don't know where to start to look in the beginning.
Then, we bring you our regular weekday series, The Making of a Nation. Today, we take you back to 1913, Woodrow Wilson's first year as president. He showed the American people that they had elected a strong and effective leader.
The story of Woodrow Wilson's foreign policy is full of high ideas and political bravery. But it also is a story of fierce struggle and lost hopes.
Finally, we take you back even further in American history to March 30th, 1870, 145 years ago today. That was the day the 15th Amendment to the Constitution took effect. It gave African-American men the right to vote. But it took almost a century before black Americans really could vote. This is As It Is, a daily 30-minute program from VOA Learning English in Washington. Every day we bring you news from and about America and the world. And we tell you the often surprising and always interesting history of the United States. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the Voice of America. Efforts to increase food production in Africa may be increasing the risk of plague infection. Plague has been killing people for hundreds of years. A new report looks at efforts to clear land for farming in natural, undeveloped areas of Tanzania. The report links the development of natural lands into croplands to a sharp increase in the number of rats. It warns the animals often carry insects infected with plague. Many people become frightened when they hear the word plague. One of the most famous periods of plague death was known as the Black Death. It was a time 700 years ago when the disease killed more than 25 million people in Europe. Health officials do not believe plague will kill many people in Africa. But they are worried about the rising number of plague infections. 30 to 60% of those infected will die if they are not given medicine. Plague is caused by bacterium. It is passed between animals and humans through the bite of an infected flea or by touching an infected animal. Rats often carry fleas. The insects feed on the blood of an infected rat. There are three forms of plague. The most common is bubonic plague. This was the disease that spread in Europe during the 14th century. Bubonic plague causes enlargement of lymph nodes. The lymphatic system, is the part of the body's natural defense system against disease. If the plague is not treated, the bacteria can reach the lungs. Then, the person may develop pneumonic plague. This is the least common but most aggressive form of the disease. It can be easily spread through small droplets expelled from the person's nose or mouth. A person infected with bubonic plague cannot infect others. The World Health Organization says pneumonic plague is one of the most deadly infectious diseases. People suffer high body temperature, shaking, pain, weakness, and muscle and joint pain within 2 or 3 days of being infected. Antibiotic drugs can cure the disease, but the infected individual must take them very quickly, because pneumonic plague can kill people within 24 hours after infection. The WHO says only a small number of reported cases are of the pneumonic form. Christopher Helgen is with the Smithsonian Institution's Museum of Natural History in Washington, D.C. He helped to write the new report. It was published online in the American Journal of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene. He spoke to VOA about the disease.
It maybe surprises people to learn that plague remains a public health concern in various parts of the world, especially in Africa south of the Sahara. Plague circulates in small mammals, in rodents, and when the conditions are right, it's a disease that can spread to people and it can still be a deadly disease. Now, plague is a disease that is treatable with antibiotics, and in that regard, it's considerably maybe less scary, less alarming than other emerging diseases like Ebola. But we should remember that this is a disease that is still on the ground in Africa and remains a public health concern.
Mr. Helgen says the amount of farmland in northern Tanzania has risen sharply in recent years. By his estimate, the croplands have expanded by 70%. He and other researchers also attempted to estimate the number of rats in areas where maize was planted. They found the rat population doubled in those areas, compared to neighboring land that had not been developed for agriculture. Mr. Helgen says that as the amount of farmland increases, so does the number of rats. He notes that the animals and people often live in the same areas, which makes it easier for plague to spread.
And this is an animal that we often will call a commensal rodent species. And literally that word commensal means eating from the same table. In other words, the notion that this is a rat that does go into people's houses and villages and interacts with people in their living spaces.
He notes that rats have a major effect on people's lives. The animals eat people's food, spread disease, and make it more difficult for farmers to succeed. The plague never completely disappears. It may stay in the wild for 10 or 20 years. Then something happens, and the number of rats increases. The disease then begins to spread in agricultural areas, then to towns and cities. Many people in an area may die, but the disease rarely spreads outside a country. Only people within a limited area are infected. When the number of cases begins to decline, scientists will say the outbreak has been contained. The World Health Organization says people should not be afraid of the plague. It says scientists have developed modern and effective ways to prevent, treat, and cure the ancient disease. You are listening to As It Is, From the Voice of America. Time now to check in with Jonathan Evans. He stops by every week with the latest technology news. This week, he tells us about graphene, a type of graphite mineral. As we noted earlier, some experts are calling it the material of the 21st century. Jonathan says some companies in the United States are already using graphene for new technology products.
Graphene is often described as a one-atom thick layer of carbon. The material has some extraordinary properties. It is 100 times stronger than steel of the same thickness. The nearly transparent material also carries heat and electricity very well. Dan Schaefer is vice president of the manufacturing company Vorbic Materials.
This material has so many potential applications that you don't know where to start to look in the beginning.
Mr. Schaefer says 100% pure graphene is difficult to make. But he adds manufacturers can make graphene of lesser purity that still has many of the features of the pure version. Mr. Schaefer says his company produces a layer of graphene that is 80% pure. Graphene can be mixed into ink for printers. Stretchable parts can be printed for products such as antennas for radio frequency identification circuits. Louise Brooks is the manager of the product development team at Vorbic Materials. She says graphene can even be used on wearable electronic clothing. She says the clothing can be washed and dried in a machine without damaging the graphene. The new material can also be used to make very sensitive microphones. Ray Sauro is a chemical engineer at Vorbic Materials. He says a graphene membrane less than 1 micron thick can pick up vibrations that no other kind of membrane can.
It has a working range of less than 1 hertz to 200,000 hertz. The human ear, for example, can hear from about 15 hertz to 20,000 hertz, so way beyond anything you can hear.
The microphone picks up the sound from light that reflects off a vibrating graphene membrane. This prevents any radio or magnetic interference. Mr. Sauro says graphene membranes can resist vibrations and heat. He adds that the membranes are not costly to manufacture. Mr. Sauro imagines the automotive industry will be able to use graphene products in vehicles to collect information about engine health. He says such products would not cost more than $300. I'm Jonathan Evans.
Thanks, Jonathan. Now, on our daily The Making of a Nation program, we look at Woodrow Wilson's first year as president. It showed the American people that they had elected a strong and effective leader. Wilson took office in 1913. He moved quickly to fulfill his campaign promises. He won congressional approval for lower import taxes, a new tax on earnings, and restrictions on the power of big companies. As Larry West and Maurice Joyce tell us now, these were some of the most important economic reforms the nation had seen in many years.
Most of Woodrow Wilson's political victories were on national issues. He had little experience with international issues. But foreign events soon began to demand more and more of his time. With all of his successes at home, it is a surprising fact of history that his presidency is remembered best for its foreign policy. The story of Woodrow Wilson's foreign policy is full of high ideas and political bravery. but it also is a story of fierce struggle and lost hopes. It is a story that begins across America's southern border in Mexico.
At that time, Mexico had been ruled for many years by Porfirio Diaz. As Diaz grew older, his power began to weaken. In 1911, a revolt broke out. It was led by Francisco Madero, the leader of a land reform movement. Diaz understood he could not win. He resigned and fled the country. Madero declared himself president. However, powerful groups in Mexico opposed him. In a short time, one of his own generals, Victoriano Huerta, arrested him. Madero was murdered soon after Huerta seized power. President Wilson refused to recognize Huerta's government. He believed other forces would rise up against him. Wilson was right. Another revolt began, led by General Venustiano Carranza.
Wilson offered aid to Carranza. Carranza rejected the offer. He was afraid of American interference in Mexico. He told Wilson that Mexican troops would do all the fighting. He only wanted guns and ammunition. American forces did, however, get involved in the conflict. President Wilson learned that a ship from Germany was bringing supplies to the Huerta government. The ship would land at the Mexican port of Veracruz. Wilson ordered the United States Navy to seize and occupy the port. The move started a storm of criticism in the United States and throughout Latin America.
Many people denounced President Wilson. They called him an imperialist and a fool. They asked, what right did the United States have to interfere in Mexico? Wilson finally stopped American military action in Mexico. He tried to settle the dispute at an international conference at Niagara Falls, Canada. The effort failed. The conference did not produce a settlement. While the diplomats were talking, Carranza's revolutionary forces were fighting. They moved on Mexico City, the capital. President Huerta fled. Carranza formed a new government.
The new government began to split apart almost immediately. Another general, Francisco Pancho Villa, tried to seize power. He forced Carranza out of Mexico City. Then he formed his own government. President Wilson recognized Villa and his government. Carranza, however, refused to give up. Day by day, his army grew stronger. He forced Villa to retreat. Then President Wilson recognized Carranza's government. Like Carranza, Villa refused to give up. He decided to try to start a war between Mexico and the United States. Pancho Villa wanted the United States to attack Carranza. Then he would step in to lead Mexican forces in battle. That would make him a hero. With this plan in mind, Pancho Villa attacked an American town across the border in Texas. He killed 19 persons.
President Wilson immediately ordered a large American force to find and punish Villa. At first, Carranza welcomed the move. Villa was his enemy. He wanted him captured. Then Carranza began to fear that the American troops might threaten his government. He demanded the withdrawal of all American soldiers from Mexico. Tensions increased between the two countries. Villa's forces attacked another town in Texas. President Wilson considered asking Congress to declare war. But the crisis cooled down before then. American forces were withdrawn, and the people of Mexico elected a new government. They chose Carranza as president.
As President Wilson dealt with the situation in Mexico, trouble began to surface in another part of the world. The crisis was in Europe. Tensions were growing between several groups of nations. They were on the edge of what would become World War I. The major powers in Europe had been threatening each other for years, but they had not fought for more than 40 years. Most Americans believed there would never be another European war. Such a war would be unbelievably destructive. Millions would die. No nation would win.
Europe depended on a balance of power to keep the peace. On one side were the Central Powers, Germany, Austria-Hungary, and Italy. On the other side were the members of the Triple Entente, Britain, France, and Russia. Each side made every effort to win the support of Europe's smaller nations. A number of nations refused to join either side. The neutrals included Switzerland, Belgium, the Netherlands, and the Scandinavian countries.
This political balance did not prevent the major nations from competing with each other for colonies and economic power. They competed all over the world, in China, in the Middle East, in Africa, everywhere money could be invested. Competition was especially sharp in the Balkans. This was the area of Europe between the Adriatic and Black Seas. Many nations claimed special interests in the Balkans, and several Balkan countries were fighting each other. The whole continent seemed ready to explode.
The spark that set off the explosion came in the city of Sarajevo. The date was June 28, 1914. Sarajevo had been taken over by Austria, and the Archduke of Austria, Ferdinand, had come for a visit. Ferdinand was expected to become the next emperor of Austria. Seven young extremists from the area decided to assassinate the Archduke to protest Austrian control. One of the extremists threw a bomb at the royal family. the bomb missed its target, but another extremist shot at the group. He killed both the Archduke and the Archduke's wife.
The assassinations in Sarajevo started a series of events that quickly brought war to all of Europe. Soon the continent was covered with armies, battles, and death. The war in Europe forced President Wilson to face the greatest crisis of his presidency.
Today's The Making of a Nation program was written by Frank Beardsley. Tomorrow, more about the assassinations in Sarajevo. They started a series of events that quickly brought war to all of Europe. Soon, the continent was covered with armies, battles, and death. The war in Europe would be the greatest crisis of Woodrow Wilson's presidency. Finally, it was 145 years ago today, March 30, 1870, that the 15th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution took effect. It granted African American men the right to vote. The 15th Amendment had been passed by Congress a year earlier as the third and last of the post-Civil War Reconstruction Amendments and sent to the states to approve. One day after it was adopted, Thomas Peterson Mundy of Perth Amboy, New Jersey, became the first African American to vote under its authority. The 15th Amendment reads, "The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude." But within 10 years of the amendment taking effect, some southern states and local governments put into place measures to keep African Americans from voting. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 was an effort by the federal government to take down the barriers that kept blacks from voting. Well, that's our program for today. We hope it has informed and entertained you and has helped you learn everyday American English. Every day on As It Is, we report on issues that we believe are of interest to you. We go in depth on the latest news events as we report on issues that concern you. We talk with newsmakers, lawmakers, experts, analysts, and VOA correspondents to help you understand our fast-moving and ever-changing world. Of course, we want to hear what interests you. You can tell us what you want to hear about, and you may hear stories about your interests on a future show. Our email address is learningenglish@voanews.com. That's learningenglish@voanews.com. And please know that we read every message you send us. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz, reporting from the VOA Learning English headquarters in Washington. For all of the women and men of the Voice of America all around the world, and for all of us here at VOA Learning English, thanks for spending some time with us today. Jim Tedder will be here tomorrow at this same time with another broadcast, webcast, and podcast edition of As It Is from the Voice of America.